This is Kieran Murphy, the founder and presenter of the Across the Four Lakes podcast. On Sunday, Carlo Rugby Club beat Kildare away from home to clinch promotion to Division 1A. It has been a long 13 years, and at the end, a 36-22 victory on Sunday was fully deserved. Carlo celebrated into the night and the next day as well. Captain Dan Crotty is here to talk about last Sunday and the path they took to top the league. They join another Carlo club, Tullow, in the top tier of Leinster Junior Rugby next season. Daniel, welcome. An amazing day, I would say. Listen, I have to admit, I wasn't at the match. Harry Shorthouse covered the game for the Nationalist. I was in Twickenham on the Saturday and didn't get back on Sunday. So look, I was keeping an eye on the Twitter feed, and it was looking good for most of the day, to be quite honest with you. But look, you tell me, was it as easy as it looked on my Twitter feed?
Oh, far from it. The last 11 minutes just felt like they were never going to end. No, just absolutely delighted. Delighted for the group of lads and the club in general, especially the year we had. Like, it's something else, and being captain of it all now is just the cherry on top for myself.
Yeah, but we'll come to it in a few minutes, you know, the path that you took. And I only realised it. You won 8 games in a row, and you won all your second-round games, home and away. Like, that was a phenomenal achievement. But listen, we'll come to that in a minute. Last Sunday, Kildare hit you with a goal early on. With a try early on.
Yeah, they came straight out of the blocks. We knew when we were going up to Kildare there was going to be a full 80 minutes of rugby there. We knew they were never going to ease up, and they came out of the blocks firing. We weren't the same. Now, we fell asleep at the wheel at the very start of the game. We could see the try very early. But look, we have a phenomenal group of players. We all went behind the post, no arguing, nothing to be fixed. We know exactly what happened. So we all took a deep breath and we said, right, we'll go from here now. Reset button. We need to kick on. There's no more falling asleep. So we were lucky enough then that we got up the pitch, and the forwards got us in a great position then. We had a line out, and I did a little switch move with Dave McDermott, and the strength that he has is outrageous, and he ran her in under the post. So he kind of got us going from the get-go then, and I think we just kept the pressure on.
They missed the conversion, didn't they? Their first try.
Missed the conversion, yeah.
Yeah, but ye then went 7-5 ahead. Ben, your brother, knocked over that conversion, so you were ahead then.
That was it. So I think after that, not that we were in the driving seat, but we knew it was ours to lose from that minute on.
Even that early in the game?
Not in a cockiness sense. I think it's been driven into us this year of confidence. Like, we put in the work. Things like we're top of the table for a reason. We haven't walked into it. The lads are working hard, and you kind of do have to have that confidence mentality. So we just kept working hard for the 80 minutes. Like, Kildare threw everything at us. Like, we were defending for long periods of the game, but
yeah, it doesn't come across in the final scoreline. You know, like you went, Jonathan Crossley got. Like, I'm amazed. I'm talking about Jonathan Crossley, but McDermott and Crossley have been scoring tries in most of your games. You know, I know there's a tell-all there against Dundalk, but in high-scoring games, these two lads keep delivering the whole time.
I think that's what you need, though. You need players to be performing constantly, and when you have momentum like that, you need to keep it going. Like, the players like Dave and Johnny are so ball-hungry, and when they're ball-hungry and they get that ball, they're producing tries, and that's what we need. I think that was the difference between maybe this year and previous years, that we are scoring tries now. We're playing to our strengths. We're not trying to recreate any other team. We're trying to play to how Carlo play best, and I think that's the difference this year and previous years.
It helps to have a good kicker as well.
I give it to Ben. He's been phenomenal off the boot this year. Like, if you think back to games like Atai and Kilkenny, like, they're games we would have lost, but to have Ben's kicking is such an asset to our arsenal. So there's two games that he slotted over the post to get victories, and he was on form again at the weekend. And it's kind of nice having that comfortability in a kicker. There was two stages we took penalties, and they weren't easy kicks at all. I think in previous years, we would have went to a corner to make an easier opportunity to score, but with Ben's confidence and Ben's kicking, you have to take them points.
Yeah, and he did. And then Tyrone gets another try coming up to half time. I know you can see that a converted try to Kildare, but like it was something like 22-5 up.
Yeah.
Tyrone's try, like it was a vital score for you, a third try. You weren't going looking for bonus points. The bonus point was bad if you got it. It was the win you wanted. But
That was it.
it feeds into the confidence you're talking about.
Yeah, that's it. We had a cup mentality at the weekend. All we wanted was either a 1 point win or a 100 point win. We didn't care. We just wanted to get a W, and luckily enough, we got it. And the lads were just working like horses all around the pitch. When that ball went over the top and Ty caught it, he just put the head down and go. And I don't think he believed himself when he made the little line break, and all he could
Yeah.
hear was scream and dive. So when he hit the line, I think we all jumped on top of him as if we own scored.
Yeah. Listen, second half, 22-10 up. There's still a lot to be played. But what was the thought process at half time? Presumably it was a bit similar to the start of the game.
Yeah, I think it was just relaxed that we were in a great position. And we wanted to do
Seriously,
anything.
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the best thing about us this year, is that we go to plan B, is just go back into the system. There's no need to play anything fancy. It's go back to basics, and I think that's what we're doing well this year, and that's what we're executing. So when we went and go back to basics, and that's what we done in the second half, just keep tipping away, and we picked up a few yellow cards. And when lads went off the pitch, the work rate went up, which is what you need as well when you're down to 14 men.
What were the yellow cards for?
We had a high tackle, and kind of it wouldn't have been a yellow card in previous years. It's just that law of kind of tackling below the sternum now. We had a team penalty as well, and we also had a bit of handbags as well. Went with the heat of things, and Ian Atkinson received a yellow card for that one. But like I said, when we went down to 14 men, the energy from the 14 men that were on the pitch was phenomenal. Like, we defended our own line there for maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and no one laid off.
Was that before Ben and Richie White got a? I think Richie White got two drop goals, if I'm right.
Two drop goals,
Ben
yeah.
got a penalty and Richie White got a drop goal. And was it then the handbags kicked in, or was it then that she kind of lost maybe your way a small bit
No, I
with the
think
yellow cards? Yeah.
all them scores, I think, came after their last try. And it was actually after the little bit of handbags as well. It was kind of the little scrap kind of got the fire back in the belly, and we really kicked on from there. And so look, when you have experience like Richie White sitting there, sitting in the pocket, you have to give him the ball. And they were two phenomenal drop goals.
Yeah, Richie's been incredible for you this year. I've looked at Richie in previous years and he's been missing kicks. And if he ever listens to this, I hope he doesn't get insulted by it, but I'm saying he'd be missing kicks all over the place, you know. And the head would drop and everything. And but this year he's been absolutely incredible. And like to score two drop goals in a game of that nature, it's a magnificent achievement. And I'm sure it lifted you all as well.
He's an incredible player. Like, he's been phenomenal this year. I think maybe in previous years, Carlo relied so much on him, and I
Okay.
think this year with the group of players we have, he's a lot of trust in us. And I think once he's trusting us, it means he can focus on his own game. And when Richie's in form, he's something else. Like the boot he has, like the amount of times we'd be on our 5 meter line and we get the ball turned over, and you give the ball to Richie, he boots it 50 meters up the pitch. It's some relief. And
It
like,
is. It is
it's not his.
absolutely. There's nothing better for a set of forwards to be
No.
instead of running 5 yards on to the next line. It's be suddenly you've got the wind in your back. Even if the wind is against you, you've got the wind in your back, metaphorically speaking, running down to the halfway line or maybe into their half. It's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, definitely. And look, he's more than just the boot as well. Like, the wisdom and knowledge he has is brilliant. Like, it's gas. I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, but you have Tyrone and Paddy Rogers, who started at both props, and the two boys combined age the same as Richie's. So it's kind of a great mix of youth and wisdom with our team at the moment, and I think it really kicks us on. You have the lads who have energy there running around the pitch, but then you have lads like Richie keeping us calm and cool and kind of having the knowledge, right, all we need to do is keep the scoreboard ticking, and took the 3 points to the drop goal and went down so well he had to do it a second time.
Yeah, and of course, you know, West Shirley falls into that And what's his name? Larry McGrath in the front row.
That's it.
He's
Yeah,
got
Larry
huge
and
experience.
Indeed, yeah, and John Lyons, I put him in that bracket as well. Like, you need those lads. I think I was saying back 2 years ago when we lost the quarter final to Kilkenny in the Towns Cup. Like, I think 17 of the 20 were under the age, I think, of 23 and below. And I don't think you can really be overly successful when you're that young. And now we all have about 2 more years under the belt, and having lads like that with Wes and John in the second row, you can keep calm and collective at the right times of the game. Like, one of Ben's penalties, we were in a great position, we were on top, and I brought John to the side and I was like, right, I'm confident that Ben can kick this, but the maul is going really well. So should we go for 3 points or go for the maul? And John goes, if Ben's happy, I'm happy. And he was dead right. Just keep the scoreboard ticking, cup rugby.
Yeah.
And it's kind of being able to lay back on other lads, and when they have the knowledge like that, then you have to take it.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned a few names there, Ian Atkinson, and I'm looking at Conor Tracy, who got maybe it wasn't quite the clinching try, but it was the last try of the game to put you, what, 26-22, the conversion
Yeah.
was missed. And between yourself and Ben as well, there's a fair GAA. How would you call it? A bit of experience, GA experience running through that team. Is there anybody else I've missed there?
No, we have a good bit now. For sure, Ian Atkinson was in with the Carlow panel there one
That's
stage as
right.
well, and Dave McDermott played at Colleston as another fine footballer.
Now, I
I'm sure
left
then
him
Rich.
out, yeah. And Conor
Yeah.
Tracy is featuring with the Ballinakillen
And
All
Fenna,
Ireland
yeah.
and the footballers in Fenna there as well, you know.
Oh, but sure, it's great for us. Like, we get the benefit of when lads come back after the summer break, that they're fit, that they've been playing football, and that it's getting the ball in hand is great. But then the flip side for that, for us as players, it's great to get a break from rugby. Like, I love going back to football because all of a sudden you're going out to purely enjoy it, and same with Ben. Like, it's a nice break from having constant rugby and constant knocks to having a bit of freedom on a rugby on a football pitch and running around the place. It's quite enjoyable.
Yeah, listen, yourself and Ben have under 20 medals with your Aero, haven't you? And
Yeah,
maybe a
we do.
bit more
Yeah.
as well. I'd say they're precious
Yeah.
medals as well, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. I did some of my best times are growing up with Aero. Like, we had a great bunch there. Like, we have under 16 and minor medals there with Aero. So it's a great club, and kind of have, like I said, to have that as a break from rugby, it's a great place to walk into.
Yeah, listen, you were like Tom, your father then is past president of the club. He probably didn't start on a Provincial Towns Cup team, but I nearly certainly has a Provincial Towns Cup medal as well on the panel. Like you were playing Gaelic, and like Tom wouldn't exactly be a Gaelic man himself. Like how did that go down?
Oh, Dad is an advocate for sport.
Sport,
Like, if
good man, yeah.
like I think anything that was available and we ever put our hand up being like, I'd like to give that a go, Dad would jump straight in the car and bring us. Like, I've done karate, rowing, hurling, football, soccer. To be fair, Dad drove us all across the country. But Dad is a huge advocate for sport, and like, Dad loves the boys playing football because
Yeah.
he says the amount of benefits we get, ball in hand, keeping fit, and most of all enjoying it. So I think, to be fair to Dad, I think any opportunity to play sport, Dad would have got us up there. And when you have a club like Aero and you're winning, it kind of makes it a little bit more enjoyable. So we are always looking forward to playing football, and kind of Dad kept that in us.
Yeah, don't forget your mum either, because I've seen her at a lot of games, and it wasn't just rugby games as well. Probably saw
Oh,
more Gaelic games than rugby games.
sure, that's it. Like, poor man. At least Dad's on the side of the pitch running up and down, either being linesman or doing a bit of management. Poor mam has to stand in the cold and the rain and watching us, and she gets the ear burnt off her when things aren't going well. So I
Yeah,
said it in
and
my little
listen,
speech there.
you haven't, it hasn't happened to you yet, but as a parent, watching your child play a sport on a pitch, it's agonizing. It's hard to do it.
Yeah, mam says that now. Out of all the sports as well, it's rugby's the tougher one. When someone's trying to tackle you and chase you down, at least in football, there's not as many big knocks. So mam said
Right. That's right.
she'd often cover the face with her hands watching some of our
I well
games.
believe it. I well believe it. Listen, I just want to take you to the league campaign. Like you won your last 8 matches. Like for anybody who doesn't know, there's home and away in the league where you play seven matches at home, seven away. Like that was like to do that in a league basis under the pressure you were on. I didn't realize it. I kind of said, "Yeah, I wonder how many matches they won. I wonder if they win all their second round matches." And you did, and you didn't just win them; you won a lot of them quite convincingly. Like it was like you were building up momentum the whole time.
To be fair, that's a stat I only found out at the start of this conversation. I didn't even realize that ourselves. We're very focused on the next job. That's always our thing. Like the build up to even it was nearly like a final there yesterday, but it was another league game. We knew all we had to do was just get a win. Didn't have to be too convincing, and that's the approach we had. It wasn't a big build up. It wasn't putting the match on the pedestal. It's getting the job done, and that's the way it's been all year. Like he won the Southeast there in January, and
That's right, Jeff.
after that we celebrated it, but back up on Tuesday night it was next job. And that's the mentality of what we've been drilled into this year.
Can you remember the last team to beat you in the league?
Probably it was a Kildare, I think.
It was, yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
they beat you in November in Carlow, 13-6.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it,
But
yeah. Because we lost a little.
I felt the game before that. I was first disappointed for you when you lost that game because remember I was at the no, I wasn't at the game, but I saw that you'd beaten Kilkenny away from home, who were the huge contenders for promotion. And you
Yeah.
beat them 24-22, and I felt that had turned your season around. And then you came home and you lost your next home match. And I said,
Yeah.
God, surely is this going to be the same old story over and over again? And then you went
And
on that
that's it.
magnificent winning run. Incredible.
I don't know. We knew even after that match, it was a hiccup. It wasn't like I think the last 2 years of being involved, we've lost too many games in the last minute. Well, I think it's been turned on its head this year. We're the ones getting the last minute wins in Kilkenny and against the Tyne, and it's that mentality
Yeah.
that I was talking about previously. But I think the mentality difference that Dave Barron and Joe Bulmer brought in is huge. It's
Yeah, and
been
look,
hungry. Yeah.
the end of January there you went up to Delisle Palmerston and you beat them 12-5. Now Delisle Palmerston, they have a long history associated with Carlow. When Carlow were trying to hold a place in Division One of the All Ireland League, they did it at the expense of De La Salle Palmerston. And it's kind of ironic that you should win the league and De La Salle are now being relegated.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah.
it's funny the way sport keeps repeating the same things over and over again.
Yeah, I was surprised that they're in the position that they're in at the moment in that relegation playoff. Because they really are a good team. I think they were a bit slow to start the season was all because they're incredibly hard to beat, especially up there. Like the conditions weren't great, and I think our heart was in our mouth there for a lot of that game because we were defending on our line for huge parts of it. Like you said, it was only 12-5.
Yeah, I think that was a Saturday game as well, was it?
I think it was. Yeah, it was a Saturday game, and I think it had been wet and windy all week, and the pitches just about held up, and they made us play rugby for 80 minutes. To be fair to them,
Yeah, can you remember the dog game? It was a draw, 10-all.
that was the one game I've missed this year.
Did you? Yeah.
The previous game to that was Denisel, and I got knocked out in that match. So I was the sideline for that. But even that draw was massive for us. We weren't playing well at all, and we were losing the last play, and we were in our own half. And to be fair to Liam Slater, and it just shows the depth of our team. He marched us up the pitch at 10, and the boys were hungry and were eating at the line. And eventually, we got that try to get the level. But that was massive for us. Like that's 2 points we left with, and it could have been zero.
Yeah, and funnily enough, if you look at it, when you talk about zero, the first game against the Tyne, you were beaten 27-22. Now, look, I'm focusing on the games you were beaten at the moment, and I don't mean to do that, but they're the ones that kind of spring to mind, which makes it all the more meritorious that you did fight back and you did get promotion the way you
Yeah.
did. But certainly, a Tyne beating you, it had to. What can you remember that
Oh
evening?
yeah, I remember. I can. It was the most unlike Carlo we've ever played. I think we did. You have the score there. I've never seen our team that we have at the moment concede so many tries. We were falling off tackles. We were never winning collisions, and Atai were very hungry and came after us. I think we were the only team to beat Atai in Atai last year. And I think they went out to prove the point. They've done exactly that. But it was a big learning curve for us. Like, we knew, right, if we can continue like this, it's not going to be a good year. So, like I said, it was focus on the next job, and that's exactly what we've done. Because we had a new system as well, with Dave and Joe coming in, and we were going too wide, and we were trying to recreate Leinster and Carlow and not play to our own strengths. And I think that's the difference.
But look, there was a lot of great wins as well. Like, you put 46 points up in the dock when they came down here in February. You beat Boyne away 24.
Yeah, I think that came to us as a bit of a shock as well. Like, because we know Boyne are an incredible team, and it's a very difficult place to go to. And I think it was just we came firing out the blocks, and we even shocked ourselves how well we played in the day.
All right, listen, I'm just looking at things here. Bear with me. Towns Cup next Sunday, Saturday, Sunday,
Next
14.
Sunday against Portlaoise at home, yeah. Next job, like I was saying, they're flying it. They're after winning 2B now, so they're up into 2A, and they're a team that can play to their strengths. Like, they have a big pack and a very good 10. So even though for those who might know and see on paper that we're after getting promoted, even though they're two divisions behind, it's Cup Rugby, anything can happen on the day. So it's all about focusing on ourselves and getting the job done rather than thinking of any next round. Let's focus on
And
Portlaoise.
the 150th anniversary, did it help you at all? The 150th anniversary of Carlow Rugby Club, I should say. Did that help, or were you aware of that?
We mentioned it quite a bit. We don't like to kind of fantasize about it and kind of what you have to do within the year. A lot of it does focus back on it, but the club have been incredible this year. I think they know how special the year is, but I've never seen the club so player influenced ever. Anything the players have asked for, the club have provided, and that's been on and off the pitch. And I think the club and the players have never been as close as they have been this year and previous years. So I think that the 150 is kind of kickstarted that. It's something special, and kind of going on the World Cup tour because of the 150 year and everything that's been special about it. It's probably done wonders that we haven't realised, even though it's not been focused on. So I reckon it probably has done a lot more than we realise.
And if you look at it, I haven't been a frequent visitor to Carlow Rugby Club, but mainly GAA I'm doing. But one of the matches, I was up there, the match, I can't, you won it anyway. And I was just absolutely blown away by the family atmosphere. I was just, and I don't mean it, I don't mean to patronize, I'm not being patronizing when I say it, but I just felt there was something in the club, and it wasn't just the players, it was everybody. The families were there, everybody was there, everybody was going into the bar afterwards. I just felt Carlo had found something that had lost for quite a long time. And I can't see that, but driving you forwards in the next, I won't talk about this season, but even next year and for years to come. Like, you're a very young team, really. There's a lot to play for.
It's an incredible club. I've been so lucky to be so involved from the get-go, and Dad brought us up when we were about 4 years of age. It's incredible in regards to the family atmosphere, getting behind one another. Like, the support we've had this year, like, some of our away games felt like home games because there was huge support there. Even take the weekend, for instance, a bus came up, and there's a huge amount of under 16s and under 18s up with watching the match, and it's good. I like to think we're inspiring them, but it's when they step up to men's rugby, it'd be a nicer cohesive transfer. And there's so many brothers on the team. Like, you have the McDermott, you have myself and Ben, and it is, like you said, it's a family. The whole club as a wide club,
Absolutely,
it is a family
absolutely.
up there, and it's incredible to have it behind us.
Listen, Daniel, it's brilliant to talk to you. I really appreciate you coming out and having the chat. You're going trading tonight. It's
That's
all
it.
for the rest of the season, and I'm sure you're looking forward to it because I am as well.
I know. Thanks for having me.